You're listening to the Young Opportunist Podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. In this week's episode, we were lucky enough to be joined by Richard Maloney. Richard achieved his childhood dream of becoming a professional AFL player. However, this was cut short as he wasn't mentally equipped to handle the pressure that came with an elite sports person.
He experienced multiple setbacks through his life, which ultimately led him on a soul-searching journey to ask the deeper level questions of life. Since then, he's had an exhausting list of achievements. Reese, talk us through them.
He's currently the CEO and founder of Quality Mind Global, an organization that helps individuals and companies find their own success, wealth, and happiness. He's also an author, serial entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and coach to elite athletes and executives all across the globe. That was a huge list, but what will our audience actually take away from this episode?
So you'll learn how to find your passion and purpose in your 20s, practical strategies to manage stress and anxiety through this concept called washing your mind, why your subconscious mind is holding you back from achieving those goals you've set, practical ways to reprogram your subconscious and get it working with you, and finally, how to move away from being unsatisfied in your life and career to reaching your full potential.
So we often talk about the importance of compounding money over long periods of time with investing and personal finance, but this also works for knowledge. We do truly believe if people hone in on the concepts and strategies talked about in this episode, you will achieve heights you never thought possible and move towards those big goals in life.
Yeah, personally, we're really excited to challenge ourselves and I guess move towards those big goals that we've set ourselves personally.
And hold ourselves accountable to it.
100%.
Let's get underway with today's episode.
You.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We are so excited and honored to be joined by Richard Maloney, CEO of Quality Mind Global, and what a story he has. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and it's your birthday, Benny!
We're currently recording this on the 26th of July, so it's a little birthday interview for Ben.
Yeah, we love it.
No, we're really excited to dive into this self-development space and really talk about habits and how we can change this in everyday lives, because coming from our survey, thanks to everyone who participated in that, we got some really good results, and this is the stuff that you guys want. So we really concentrated on trying to bring people on like Richard onto the show to really discuss these really cool topics.
100%. So I guess let's get straight into it. Richard, for the benefit of our audience, could you, I guess, tell us who you are and how you got to where you are today?
Righto. Well, I'm Rich Maloney. I'm 47 years old, married with a wife and three beautiful daughters. So, gentlemen, it's been a hell of a journey as the role of an entrepreneur, and it's been an epic journey, an amazing journey. But basically going right back, I was a wild child, completely wild. So I got asked to leave a couple of schools, didn't really fit in, couldn't really get into the academia of a grammar school. I was really like, I like the sport here, but I was always bored, you could say. I didn't like reading. I think that was one of the key things. I was like, come on, get me out of the business world. You know, I need to do something with my life. I'm bored sitting here waiting. And so that was part of my habitual formation of how I was a young kid. And I was just always bored and I was on the hop, had a lot of energy. But I always knew deep down that I want to have a big impact on the world. And so I didn't know how, but I was always excelling in what I could do, like my sport, my football and those sorts of things. But then I couldn't quite figure out where I fit in. So school was just turfing me out left, right and center. They didn't want me. The scouts didn't want me. And so football was my saving grace. But then what happened was I got drafted to St Kilda Football Club in the AFL at the age of 19. And then I quickly got turfed out of there too because I had a bad attitude. And then I really hit the skids, you know, like questioned life, whether I wanted to be here. And I remember the day I was actually going to finish it all. I knew the place, I knew how, I just didn't pull through with it. And from then on in, about maybe 6 months later, from the age of 21, I decided to go on a very spiritual, mystical journey around Australia playing football. At Southport, Subiaco and Sandringham and the VFL, Quaffle and Waffle. And whilst I was doing that, I playing football as a captain, as an enforcer, I was out learning about the mind. I had to unhack myself because I was going to end up in jail. And my mate said to me, you're either going to be in jail or highly successful. And that's where it began, boys. And ever since then, and as I said, 25, 7 years later, I'm now in my second business, sold the first one, and loving life, absolutely loving it.
And you talk about in podcasts that you've been, and also in your book, Stress Free, that you had some challenging moments in your life as well, like 18 years old, your parents divorced. So that was a challenging chapter in your life. And then also what I found interesting when you said you're an enforcer of AFL, you're also doing something completely different in your free time. And you talk about that as well, how contradicting or contrasting that was. Here you're on the footy field bashing blokes, and then you're at home meditating, thinking about your mind and thinking about how you can level up in that space, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly what was happening. I mean, you know, I found a mentor back then that really opened my eyes up, because I was in a lot of trouble, and I just stumbled across him at a New Age festival, funny enough, and he was fairly well earthed. He wasn't out there in the woo-woo stars somewhat, but he just gave me the ability to sort of bring in a little bit of spirituality in my life, not religion, just open up to what this is all about. Like, you know, what is life about? He's asking the big questions to me, and I was like, really good questions, man. I've got to figure that out. And then who am I? And what is quantum physics? What's the universe about? And so I really explored that for a while, and I was doing group meditations, and I started to see a really good effect on me. But as I said, as you mentioned, I'd go to the footy field and I'd be an enforcer, but I liked that a little bit. I was like, I could let my aggression out here, but then I could do my inner work throughout the week. But it was a confusing time, because I was scared that my footy mates would know that I was diving into this esoteric space, you know?
Yeah, 100%. But it's kind of cool at the same time, because I love the idea that someone can't predict you when they first meet you. Like, you can't judge a book by its cover. Here you are, like, on the footy field, and then you're doing that in your free time.
It's just on that subject. Like, I remember there was a few other footballers in the team, and I was always worried about what they would think. Like, there's a couple. And funny enough, as I matured and the seasons went on, they were the ones doing the same thing. So they were off doing like secret work on themselves, and they were trying to understand what the big picture is. And then all of a sudden someone would drop a comment in, you know, out having a few beers, and then it sort of grew and grew and grew. And all my worry was just worthless, wasn't required, because then we all had this great connection of what's life all about sort of discussions. Not every day, it was a bit heavy, but just every so often.
Isn't that funny that it's just like such a taboo topic almost, that we, especially I think as men, like, we feel a bit awkward about kind of bringing that up with our mates, or maybe not even comfortable enough to bring up. Like, we've definitely experienced that ourselves. Obviously, we're in a kind of a strange time now where you come from this massive group in year 11 and 12 where, like, you've got 30 odd friends, and then you kind of, as you get a bit older, move away. Some people, go to uni, go on different journeys. So me and Reese are passionate about like entrepreneurship, business, and obviously doing this podcast. And as soon as we launched it, we kind of realized so many other people were interested in this space. And now we have this big network that are interested in business and things like that we can now talk on. And they'd never said anything previous. Like,
yeah, you would never know if you didn't put it out there. A question that we were dying to ask was, if young Richard had the mindset he had now, do you think you would be able to become the person you are today? Especially with all these little pivotal moments in your life, moments of struggle, and it challenged you. Do you think you would be who you are?
I would be a far better version, I reckon, honestly. Like, if I had the mindset back then when I was a kid, where I help kids now and young adolescents and everyday adults with unbelievably sharper, more laser-focused mental tools to help them through manage any level of pressure, I would without doubt reached my dreams as an elite athlete, because I was a confused mess, you know. I had a dysfunctional family. I love them. They're great. Don't get me wrong. But it was just, but having said that, it was the journey I was supposed to go on, right? So it's like, how do you look at it? You can look at it two ways. But no, without doubt, I would have been far different, I think, with the tools I have today.
Yeah, it's funny. We've been listening to a couple of podcasts and kind of been diving into the space around, like, everyone kind of has a dark side, or like, I guess, like, almost inner demons. And it kind of acts as almost rocket fuel when you're growing up. Whether that was struggles in like family when you're younger and things like that. Sometimes that is the thing that I'm going to prove them wrong, or that kind of mindset that gets you to almost act irrational to an extent and push harder than other people wouldn't push. Which we find quite interesting, because some of the people we do interview, when we ask them, oh, what would you tell younger you? Often the common answer is nothing, because the very thing that got them to where they are was the process, as you've kind of said.
Yeah, well, I was tenacious in my determination to be successful. That was it. Like, I didn't know how. I literally didn't. I was just like, one thing led to another, and when I started to enjoy life, like as I went on that tour, then one thing linked to another. Because when you start to enjoy things, things open up. When you're so angry and pissed off with the world, and you're a victim to everything, you just go further down, you know.
Yeah.
So once you start elevating, then life starts flowing to you, which we'll talk about later.
That's great. And you said when you first got drafted to St Kilda, you were a sports star. You're always the kid that got told at school, like you're gonna get drafted. You're gonna be the one superstar. And you're always in that leadership group in teams. At that point when you got drafted, was that a point where you came up against a lot better players, and that was a point where it was really tough and challenging for you, and then you weren't in the right mindset? And is that why you decided to leave?
Yeah, so leading up to that, I had sort of lost my way a little bit. I was always like, I was elevated into the seniors at Sandringham as the youngest kid ever, and all this sort of stuff happened, and I still didn't believe myself. I mean, the first game I played in the seniors at Sandringham in the VFL, I was locked up in the clink, you know. So they've rung the senior sergeant and said, Maloney's in here, you want to come and get him out? And so they're not gone and played footy. So I was in a bad place, you know. So then when I got the call up, I was actually in Cairns, and Collingwood called me and said, we want you to come and play with us. And then Trevor Barker called me in security and he said, nah, come with us. And I thought, I'll go with Saints. And so I got there and I was just off. You know, I just didn't have the right mindset. I didn't have the right attitude and behaviors. I was already out. Do you know what I mean? So when pressure came on, and yes, I was a big fish in a small pond in my footy club or my league, but then when you go to the top end, you're pissing with the big dogs, you know, and hope you don't mind me saying that, but they really are. You're amongst the best of the best. And then because I couldn't manage pressure very well. That was my issue. You know, one piece of pressure, I'd blow up. And that was my patterning from my childhood, because that's how I coped when I was in trouble. I would just get walloped, you know, and this, that, and the other. And so then I just exploded. So there was just no way I was going to get through that really tough situation with the mentality I had back then.
Mm. And we can't wait to dive into what you tell your clients now and through your coaching programs and everything you discuss in your novel as well, because yeah, you're going to give away. You have some really great practical frameworks and things that people can apply.
100%.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's what we do now. I mean, you know, when I started to fall into this space, I remember studying some psychology, life coaching, NLP, hypnotherapy, quantum physics. All I wanted was this, because I had psychologists when I was a young kid, a few of them, and it was good to vent, good to chat, but I didn't get the tools I needed for me to sharpen my mind. I just got the ability to dump. And so when I started studying this stuff, I just said, I just want to get a system that just helped me go from here, A to Z, really quickly, without all the fluff and rubbish and just anything that works. So that's what Quality Mind is. We just put strategies in place over the course of a growth stage, over the course of 12 to 24 weeks, that allows you to master your life.
Wow.
So most of our audience, including ourselves, as Ben said before, a pivotal moment in our lives. We're in our 20s. Coming out of school, we're either starting our careers or through uni, apprenticeships, all that stuff. And we're really trying to figure out our passion and really our why. And you discuss this in a podcast, and it relates to a concept that Simon Sinek also talks about in his novel, Start With Why.
Mm-hmm.
You have clearly found what your purpose and passion is. From going through the journey, as you said, discovering and figuring out what is your why, talking with these people, can you pass on any practical insights to our audience figuring out how we can find what we're passionate about?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what everyone wants to do, isn't it? You want to do something that you love. But in school, we're not really, I mean, you're sort of asked to do some work experience and this, that, and the other. But most importantly, when it comes to your direction, is you've got to follow your highest excitement. So that's your higher mind journey. You know, that's your soul journey to say, just go in that direction. It might not be the end result, like, just goes from here to here to here to here to here. But following your excitement is basically when you're in flow. Okay. So if you get excited, like I got excited by understanding the deeper understandings of life, I got understanding how to hack my mind. I got excited about working with elite athletes. I got excited about systemizing how to win sports championships. I got excited in entrepreneurship. I got excited in building a passive income. So all these things, I go, right, how do I bring that all to a business? into my life. And so, and that's all I did. I just put all the pieces together. And it wasn't always like one minute I got excited to go and work for a mentor that I had, and then that worked for 6 to 9 months. And then I lost respect for him because he just wasn't up to the level I thought. So that's what I got, what I needed at the time. And then something else popped up. All right. So trusting the journey of excitement is the most important aspect to living out your dreams. So it's really important at your age that you start thinking about this, because people get to the age of 35, 45, and the horse is somewhat bolted because now they've got kids, they're married, they've got responsibilities. They can't just pick up the farm and change it. You know what I mean?
100%. And we've talked about this before as well. You can get clouded with life and pressures from external people, or parents are telling you to study, go to uni when you don't really want to do it. All these things that can come into our life that cloud our vision of what we're actually get excited about.
Yeah. So if like for me, I didn't finish school. So my, I just didn't want to, I went into the trade and became a chippy. I finished my chippy school, but then I didn't finish the trade because I just felt like I had to go and learn new things. But having said that, I went to, from the ages of like 19 to 32, I think I had 12, 13 different jobs in 7 or 8 different industries. Now, at the time, I was thinking, oh, my God, this is really not looking good for the resume if I wanted to sort of. But then what happened was I then started to realize how to systemize sports championships, and then started to sell that to sports teams around Australia. And then I got that right. Then a company in America said, listen, you've got a really powerful culture creation program. Can we do a partnership? And then it blew up around the world overseas. So then I was on a plane 4 months of the year going to corporations, going to small businesses, going to, you know, garages. I was just traveling around coaching businesses. And if I hadn't had that experience of working in 12 different companies and 7 different industries, I wouldn't have been able to pull that off. So it all worked out beautifully. Do you know what I mean? From one thing led to another, working in the medical industry, working in hospitality, working in the mines. So all of that experience came to the forefront so I could walk into a place in Mexico and it could be a medical or it could be a hospitality. I'd know how to talk to them because I'd been in that place. So it all worked out well. But having said that, if you think that you need to finish your studies in this day and age, you'd probably recommend doing it. But having said that, if you said, listen, I really want to go in a different direction, I don't know where, then you've got to follow your excitement levels, most importantly. But you've got to have discipline to do whatever it is.
I was going to say that because it's almost kind of a balance with that. Like there's almost like cheap excitement to an extent where like you're like almost like a dog and a squirrel, like, oh, try this, oh, try this, try this, try this. But you do have to be, I think that's the key. You've got to be kind of disciplined around your excitement and be somewhat strategic around it as well, I think.
Yeah. And if you can't see yourself being a doctor, if you can't literally see yourself being a doctor, but you think the medical industry might head you in the right direction somewhere else, then that's good. But if you know, if you can't see yourself doing the end product, I wouldn't be chasing it myself. Yeah. I'd be like, what else do I need to do? Go and get a mentor. And that's what I'd recommend. Go and get a mentor who's in that space and just go and hang out with them for an hour or two and pay them if that's the case. Or meet with them. Like I met with a guy once every 2 months for nearly a year because he was in this leadership culture space before I decided to go down that track. And so then he gave me bits and pieces of what he was doing and all the councils and corporations. And then a year later, he employed me because I was still my passion. Because I was running an events company back then that was just like, oh, I don't really love this, you know. And then I was looking for that passion job, right? So then that's what started. That's how I got into it, through the mentor.
Yeah. And we've talked about this as well. Like, how do you find a mentor? As you said, that was good advice on, yeah, someone who's in the industry, obviously someone who you would see yourself doing in the future. Nowadays, like we have things called LinkedIn. There's an application that's professional. You can search up the company and even how to have a filter on the city that they're in and really refine down that search and try and find someone, cold message them. And for you coming onto our podcast, people do want to help each other out when they can see people trying to do their best. They want to be like a guiding light for them because they know what it was like starting out.
Oh, 100%. I think I've just randomly out of the blue, I've had at least 10 over the course of the last 5 years. Just people who just go, listen, I heard you did this, this, that, and the other. Can you just give me some advice? Or it happens a lot. It really does. It's just got to be. And the fact that they're reaching out, the fact that they're on the front foot, no brainer. No-brainer. Like you guys doing this, like it's no-brainer. Like, of course I'll be there for you.
And that's what we've heard from our guests that we've interviewed previously, all on the same page as you. As they know what it's like, and they're always happy to help out, which is great.
Yeah, so we'd love to kind of dive into this a bit deeper around like mindset and things like this, particularly around, I guess, like this idea of limiting beliefs. In your book, Stress Free, you talk a lot about the subconscious mind, which we found incredibly interesting and kind of the power of it. So we'd love for you to talk us through, I guess, the science and the development of our subconscious mind, because we found that incredibly interesting. And then also touching on like why it's important and why it's so influential in our everyday lives and everyday decisions.
Yeah, cool stuff. So this is modern day science. So when I built Quality Mind, I had to understand the brain, right? And if I can't change the brain, I'm not in business. And so that was pretty much it. So then we did a lot of, search in this space. So basically what happens is from the ages from 0 to 7, you're coming onto this planet as a toddler into 7 years old, your brain is in a frequency of hypnosis. So it's in a frequency of hypnosis for one really, really beneficial reason. It's because you came here with really only a couple of DNA, with a DNA strand from your lineage, your parents and their grandparents. And then what happens is you come in like an empty canvas, like you bought a Dell computer and the Dell computer is empty. You've just got a keyboard and then you plug the keys in and nothing happens, right? It's the same with us. So what happens is the mind goes into a frequency of hypnosis and then you're just soaking up everything around you. And so you're going to basically become like your parents. If you don't have parents, you're going to become, like your minder. You're going to watch the TV, you're going to absorb the TV, like your kindergarten, your leaders, the media. That's why young kids, and I've got 2 young daughters at the age of 5 and an 8-year-old, they repeat everything I say. They just repeat because they're just absorbing everything, right? So if you grew up in a aggressive household, you're more likely to be aggressive. Like me, I grew up in an aggressive household where I used to get the wooden spoon every second night, so I became aggressive. If you grew up in a household that was poor, you're more likely to be poor. If you grew up in a household with a single parent, you're more likely to be a single parent. It's just the way it is because you only know what you know. So what happens at the age of 7 is that mind then switches off, that frequency switches off, and then you basically assimilate to your tribe. So you learn English, you know how to act in front of your people, you know how to become like your people. But what happens then is, so basically going through life, that's where all your belief systems are. That's where all your definitions are, your identity, your story, because that's all captivated in this hard drive. And so that's why a lot of people don't change, gentlemen, significantly, because they literally go through life acting out like their parents, right? And they stay the same at the wealth level of wealth. They have the same behaviors somewhat and so forth. So if you really, really want to get the best version of yourself, you've got to reprogram yourself. And that's quite simply to do that is 2 ways. So 95% of us, I am 95% of me is from my first 7 years, right? Unless I go into the subconscious mind and retrain it. So there's 2 ways, as I said. The first way is through hypnosis, right? So you got someone else put you under a bit of a hypnotic trance and they go into your subconscious mind and use their voice to go in and reprogram, right? You've all heard of that, right? But we can't be hypnotized all day long. And so the other way is through repetition. So have you guys got your car license yet?
Yeah.
All right. You did it through repetition, right? You just learned to drive, how many hours you have to do. And so your conscious mind reprogrammed your subconscious mind through repetition. And so this is why it's really important, because a lot of people will just come through into life and they don't even know they have subconscious belief systems about money, about love, about connection, about self-worth. If your parents had anxiety, you're more likely to have anxiety. If your parents had low self-worth, you're more likely to have low self-worth. Again, that's fine if you're happy with that. But if you want to live an extraordinary life, which is what a lot of people do, you're just going to go in there and clean it out and then replace it with a new program. And it's not that difficult to do. Most people just don't know what they don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So we take people on a journey to sort of, one, figure out what they want, because most people don't even know what they want. Right? Most people are just fighting day by day or week by week or year by year or month by month, and then they get to the end of the year and they really don't have what they need. They've still got the same level of finances. They haven't really stepped out of their comfort zone. And then they get to the ages of 40, 45, 50, where we get a lot of clients coming in, both male, female, 50-50 split, all going, I just haven't got what I expected to have at this age. So then we go and help them reprogram to get in flow, right? To get in flow and teach people how to get in flow so they can get what they want. Yep. Because we are manic creators. Like, you guys are creators. I'm a creator. No matter what you think, everyone on the planet is a master creator. And so what you think is what you get. Now, if you're thinking rubbish and thinking shit thoughts and average thoughts and a victim, you're just going to create that around you. Like me back in the day, you know, I was everyone's problem, but they were all my problems. So I was just this victim. And this is when my mentor kicked in. He started to teach me that, you know, people are just reflecting back to me my challenges that I need to improve on. And so this is the sort of part of what we do with Quality Mind, is to clean out the unconscious, subconscious mind, so you can create the life you want.
That's massive. And it's so true. You don't know what you don't know. So surprised that isn't taught more, because if it's 95% of me, why do I not know about that?
Yeah. 100%.
I don't know. I feel kind of ripped off. And we talked with Jamin Fraser, who is also a life coach, and he looks into insecurities quite a lot. And in our interview, he talks about money stories, and it's kind of what you just touched on right now. But obviously, clearly that extends to so many different aspects in our life, like how we deal with stress, how we deal with anger and things like that.
And it's unbelievable. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that we write these stories when we're so young. And like, we still believe these stories that a child wrote. And
yes.
we're 40 years old, like 30 years old, and we're still living our life out of these stories that we wrote ourselves when we're younger.
That's right. That's right. So you've got to, you've got to dehumanize yourself, because society doesn't want you to be fabulous. So society wants you to be controlled.
Yeah,
that's why we weren't taught this in school. We were just taught to go and get a job and manage your emotions the best way you can. If you can't, go and get on medication.
Yeah.
You know, and this or the other. And then, like, it's just about managing your mind and your feelings, right? That's quite simply it. And then understanding that when you get in control of your mind and your feelings, then you're in control of your life. A lot of people let their feelings control their minds, their mind, I should say. So there's a whole other subject on that.
I love that you use the analogy of like reprogramming. It is just like a Dell computer, as you said. Put a new program on it, run Windows 10, run Windows, is it Windows 11 now? I don't even know. Run that on your computer and works even faster. Speeds are high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is as simple as that when you really break it down.
Yeah. And look, people in their 60s, 70s and 80s, they won't change. They don't want to change. But then we have them in our program. They're going, oh, my God. Like, we got one guy, he won't mind me telling you his name, Chappie, and he's in his mid to late 60s, and he came on. Because all you got to do, right, basically this thing, you've got to really work on your mind between 7 to 30 minutes a day on getting clear on what you want and reprogramming. We've got technology and an app that does this. And this is neuroscience, right? And so at 7 to 30 minutes a day to get into focus on what you want, get your vibrational level up, get your feelings right, get your focus and intention right, and then stay on that level. Like, keep looking at your dreams instead of looking at the past, and then you're going to create it. And then you get yourself into a really high vibration life, which means it's flowing to you. And then you're starting to work in the parameters of how the universe will supply to you. And this is like the real facts now. Science now knows this, you know, but we're not taught it on the mainstream stage because we're still being forced to go down institutional thinking. Now, we've got a lot of psychologists now using our IP because we're faster than them to help people out of a rut or out of anxiety. We guarantee you out of depression and anxiety if you follow our system. Now, I don't know anyone else that offers that because we know it's brain changing. That's all it is.
Yeah, wow.
That relates perfectly to brain plasticity.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't know if you know Tom Bilyeu, but he's the founder of Quest, and then now he's also got Impact Theory. And we've been listening to his podcast for some time now. We really look up to him as an entrepreneur and also a podcaster. And he loves this idea of brain plasticity. He basically credits his entire success to brain plasticity, which is exactly what you're talking about. And it's basically the ability, a lot of people get into this rut or this thought that they can't change who they are. But he was reading up on the brain just like you did, and found out that, oh, I can actually change my brain and the way I think. And he did that, and he went from being 28, 29 years old in an absolute rut, so lazy, so unmotivated. He couldn't even convince his girlfriend's father to approve him marrying his daughter, things like this. Basically, the father said, "You're too lazy. You don't even deserve my daughter."
Yep.
Anyway, now flash forward 15 years later, implemented these things, and we're going to go into, I guess, how people can practically implement these. And yeah, now he's a billionaire, founder of multiple companies. It's life-changing stuff, right?
Well, because it works. This is the thing. It's not airy-fairy stuff. And I don't do airy-fairy. You know, I'm pretty earthed and grounded. And a lot of my clients are people that need proof. Mm. You know, they need to see. They're not out there in la-la land. So if they make their businesses, you know, doubling, tripling, because they are doubling and tripling. You know, and they also realize that we've got a new program coming out called Money Business Money and You to help business leaders break through their glass ceiling for that main reason, because you can just hack yourself. It's actually not that hard to do. That's the funny thing about it. But people have gotten so used to being let down by personal development, you know, reading a book or going to a workshop for a weekend or a day, and they haven't got the results. So they've just lost the faith in transformation. Because I think it's wasted money. So it is wasted money. Personal development, in my opinion, is old school, because it doesn't change the brain. You'll get some insights. You go, "Oh, that was a great book. I know how to be more productive and maybe speak to my partner better. And I've learned something else." But it doesn't change your neurological behaviors. You know, it doesn't change your belief systems. It doesn't change your story, your identity, and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean, guys? Like, it's got to be consistent repetition. And that's why we have to have programs that go for a certain amount of time, for that person to go whoop, 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 right up into the person they want to be. And they just see it happening in front of me. Like, "Oh my God, I've just attracted the racehorse that I wanted. I've just got this happening. I've got a new job now. I've got so much more money," because they're now focusing on what they want as opposed to lack that they've always had.
Yeah, that was great. You basically smashed out our answer for the next question. And that was, it's all well and good saying that we can change through repetition and practice, but we have to remain consistent and disciplined. And you hit the nail on the head for that. Mm. And especially like with programs like yours and your app, that's what allows us to do so.
So for instance, So my daughters, right? You know, my finest hour of the day is in the morning when I have breakfast with them. I don't usually eat breakfast. I'll have a coffee or something, but I'll just program them. I'll say, "Georgie, you know, I love that you're a good leader. I love that you're a good listener. You know, your friends all admire you because you're friendly and you're empathetic." And I'm programming the hell out of them. You know, I'm programming them. Say, "You know, how are you feeling this morning? Not so good." I say, "What are your choices?" Mm-hmm. You know, "Do you want to stay not feeling good?" And now, where do you feel good in the chest there? So I go, "Okay, so what are you thinking?" Because the feeling in your body comes straight from a thought, right? So worried about the day at school resonates into your body, which means you can then go into a mood, right? So then we're teaching them how to hack themselves from 5 years old. So when they get to, you know, adolescence, they're in charge of their emotions as opposed to their emotions in charge of them.
I still think it's crazy that you can physically have a feeling in your body. That's the surface level thing that you think, I do have that pain in my chest. And as you said just then, like you can, that actually stems from something that you're thinking about or in your mind. Like it's incredible. Yeah.
We call it the six stages of mindful alignment. So what happens is the thought goes in, like, "Give me a thought, like, I'm not good enough." And then what happens instantly, without a blink of an eye, at stage one, is stage two, is you'll get a sensation usually in the upper body. And it could be a tight chest, clenched fist, whatever it may be, but the bad thought creates a bad sensation. Now, if that stays in your system, in your mind and your body, you go into a mood, which is stage three, right? First the thought, second the sensation, third the mood. Then if you stay in that mood, then you go to anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. "I'm anxious, so I'm still thinking bad, feeling bad. And then if you continue with that, then you can go into panic attacks, which is an overriding sensation of the body, right? Because you're thinking stupid, and because of that, you're feeling off. You think, "It's what's stopped me. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm so worried. And then it's just overriding. And then what happens is the sixth stage is you can go into depression. And all it is you've got to hack the thought. And the most important time to do this is in the morning. You know, you've got to get in front of your thoughts every morning. You've got to get in front of them. Don't let your thoughts get in front of you. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you've got to literally be in charge of your thoughts from get-go. Yeah. And then you can really start creating and get in flow.
Talk us through that. How does that actually work? Say I wake up 6 a.m. I already know that it's not good to go on my phone for the first hour because I don't want media to come in and influence my thoughts of the day. But how can I actually get in front of my thoughts? Is that literally taking the time, 10 minutes to be like, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to beat it. I'm going to win the day, blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you actually do that?
Look, I guess, look, there's ways, but I'll come in here for a second. I've got, and this, you guys can download the app, your listeners, for free, is I come in here and I just go to my app, and up the top here, you'll see up the top, Thought Shopping.
Yeah, we download it. It's awesome.
Yeah, so you get to in here and then you choose your emotions, right? So I'm going to go, okay, I'm tired. Why? You know, average sleep or, you know, whatever it may be. Then you go next. And then I'm going to get a whole string of power thoughts to choose from that I've got in there. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I choose to be excited today. This week is going to be my best week ever, full of great surprises and clear thinking. Today is going to be a great day. It doesn't even matter. So what I'm doing is I'm getting ahead of my thoughts. That's fine and that's easy to do. But the key here is, so you've got to go and feel the new thoughts. Now, this is where the hack is for all your listeners out there. Positive thinking is good, but it's about positive feeling. You know, and we're not positive junkies at all. We're about how do we hack ourselves. Mm. So first thing in the morning, my routine is this. And it's a great, great comment, Ben. Like, I get up at roughly 4:30. I wake at 4:30. I'm in bed by 10, sleep by 10. I will meditate for probably 20, 30 minutes. And I just sort of really, because when you're in the morning, your mind's in a really gamma state. So that means I get my mind to go stay there, and then I can really connect to my intuition and connect to my higher source, or just my guidance, whatever it is. If I've got a challenge for the day, or I need some inspiration, or I just need something for the day or some guidance, I go in, I sit down 20 minutes and I lie in bed, and I just go into that space of, is there anything I need to know about today, or something came up, and I usually get something, or sometimes I get nothing, might just be a relaxation. Now, a lot of my mates would laugh at this, but it works. I just go, wow, that was great. Write it down. Contact that person that day, or be prepared for that meeting a bit better. Mm. And then I head to the gym from 5 till 6. So I don't get my feet on the ground. I do not put my feet on the ground until I've actually ready for the day. Like, wow. Things like getting these thoughts right.
Yep.
You know, one of my wife and I talk about is everything always works out for us. Everything always works out for us. We just keep repeating that to each other in the mornings just to get ourselves right, because she was a way overthinker. And so I had to continually work on her without telling her I was working on her, because you can't coach your partners, guys. Forget.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. Jeez, you would have been in the doghouse for a while.
Oh, man. Yeah. Nearly broke us, you know? So anyway, I'm just giving you that you've got to get ahead of your thoughts. And then once you're ahead of your thoughts, then your day's underway. And no matter what comes at you, Ben, like, you know, then I get on my emails, because I like to clear them out before I get to work. I just go swipe, 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 swipe. Yep. You know, so I get to work and I don't have as many facing me or whatever it may be. So then I'm sort of in charge, and I've got my I love this comment. My state needs to be my best mate. Mm-hmm. Right, my state is my best mate. So if that's my best mate, I've got to make sure I'm thinking good for this to feel good.
Yeah.
Because this won't feel good if I'm thinking off.
Yeah.
And once you understand this hack, you can go anywhere in the world or anywhere at all, and everything is neutral until you give it a meaning. So you can go to uni, or you can go to wherever you're going for the day, and it doesn't have to impact you if you've got a good state of mind straight away. But if you wake up, you know, with your thoughts scrambled, good luck to you, because by the end of the day, you're just getting caught in momentum of worry and concern, which is what anxiety is.
I love that quote, and that's why I just scrambled off my phone to grab that, because I took a, you probably can't see it, but
no, I can't see it. Yeah,
I took a photo of a page that I wrote on, and it was that quote that you said in a podcast, like, everything is neutral until I give it meaning. Yep. And that's so true, because, like, yeah, you screw up a task at work and then you tell yourself, I suck. Like, I'm like this because maybe I didn't get a tertiary education, or I went to a public school, and this is just me. Like, you constantly just have all these little stories. We're storytelling human beings. Like, we love to string along these things and make a reasoning of why the mistake was, not just, all right, I made a mistake. Like, let's go kick myself up again and go along with my day. We really have to analyze it and break it all down.
Well, because what happens is we call it a child mind, and we have a child mind and a mastermind. But when you get caught up in that tangent of worry, what happens is it's adrenaline. So you get the chemicals going through your system, like, geez, I stuffed that up. And you get full of chemicals and cortisol and stress, and it just pumps your system up, and you become addicted to it. Mm. You become a stress addictor. Like, how many people just love a drama, right?
Yeah.
And because they really do. And it's because they're so used to the chemical hit from a drama and they become addicted to it. And so you've got to learn to really step away from that drama. And then again, the mind model we use is the child and the mastermind and in the coach's box, getting in the coach's box of your mind and go, okay, there's a child in me and there's a master in me. And I'm going to sit in the coach's box and say, where's that worry? Where's the worry coming from? It wouldn't come from a master within me because that's like my Sherpa. It's like the part of me that actually shows me where I need to go for life, you know, in a way that's working for me, as opposed to the child is full of worry, you know, full of concern and is a control freak. So there's a bit more to that one I can just give now, but that's a model that we use.
It's like meditation, right? Like being in that flow state and having thoughts come in to you, but you don't analyze it and you just let it go past.
Yeah, to a degree. Like meditation, one of the benefits about meditation, and also I used to teach AFL players this, the Bulldogs and so forth, is one of the major benefits of meditation is you get to learn how erratic your thinking is, right? Then you get to slow it down. Right. So then, yes, you do get, once you slow your thinking down, then your intuition comes through recently and you can actually get messaging when your mind's out of the way, because it's your conscious mind, which is the gatekeeper. Your gatekeeper won't let anything in because it wants to keep you safe. You know, so once you release the gatekeeper and then you can get really in touch with your higher understanding and your higher messaging that you need if you want to become an extraordinary master of your life.
And that is being present, which like kind of leads us perfectly into the next topic we want to discuss, which is this whole idea, and you've brought it up in the interview, flow state. So like, what does it actually mean for someone to be in their so-called flow state?
So, and this might sound a bit out there, but quite again, it's science again, but flow state is when life flows to you, when you start trusting that you're on the right path, when you start trusting that you can let your hands off the wheel a little bit, right? So as opposed to trying to get everywhere in life and I need to fight for this, I need to control this, I need to be on top of this. Now, you certainly need to take action. Don't get me wrong. And action needs to be driven by excitement and desire and discipline in where you want to go with life, whether it's a partner, whether it's a business, whether it's an entrepreneurial idea, whether it's a side hustle, whatever it is. But what happens is you want to get your vibrational levels up to a level where you're feeling good. You know, when you're feeling good, life's quick, right? When you feel good, life flows a lot quicker. When you're feeling really depressed and low and sad, life's slow, right? You know what I mean? Life is slow. Then you're thinking really shitty stuff and everything's a problem and you don't want to get out of bed. And believe me, I deal with a lot of people like this and they just create more dramas. They create more heaviness. They create a slower existence, right? But when you get your mind up, when you get your feelings up, your vibrations up, your control of your being, when you control of your thoughts and you focus on what you want and everything is neutral until you give it meaning, you don't let the outer world impact your inner world. And then you start to see that things flow to you quickly if you're in line. So your alignment is following your excitement, right? Your alignment is, well, I'm just passionate about today no matter what. I'm passionate about where I'm going. I don't know what's in for today. I love uncertainty. And you're staying in that grateful space. You're staying more in the now as opposed to worrying about the future, concerned by the past. And so when you, again, follow your excitement, give up on controlling everything and literally focused intention where you want to be and how you want to feel, then you're in flow. It's that, it's not that hard to do, but it's about training your thoughts to go, today's going to be a great day no matter what, and things will come at me, but I'm going to manage them like a master, not a child. So a lot of people, it's like a football game. Look at the best players out in the footy, right? Do you guys follow your footy?
Follow rugby and league. So,
great. Well, you're same game, same sort of deal. So the best players, they go out there, they're excited, right? They're not worried about the opposition. They're not worried about the umpires. They don't care about the scoreboard as such. They don't really care about the audio, the crowd. They're just like, yes, I'm going to dominate today. Yes, I'm going to dominate. So they just go one contest, their strategy, working in their system. Like you go there, they're leading their life, they're leading the play, and they flick it out or they kick the ball, whatever it is, and they go to the next contest. They're not worried about whether they're going to be tight enough. They just go.
Yeah.
You know, they don't argue with umpires. They don't argue with their team player. They get tagged all along. They just get rid of them and off they go, and they're smiling, they're excited, and they're the ones that get best on, right, as opposed to the other person who walks out, they go, oh, geez, my player's better than me. I'm in for a real tough day today. Yeah. Guess what happens to that player?
Get smoked.
Right? Or he gets smoked. He's injured. That's right. That's why I wrote injury free. Because it's aligned to all these areas. And then you lose your self-worth. You lose your confidence after three games like that. You get injuries, you get binned, or you get put in the twos. So your vibration levels need to be high, right? You got to be excited for life no matter what. You know what I mean? And then life comes at you. You just go, I got it. Oh, I got to deal with this one. Shit, that pissed me off, right? Back to neutral. And then get back on the horse and go, righto, good lesson. I learned something there. But don't get yourself caught in momentum into beating yourself up because you'll get out of flow.
That is the biggest golden nugget. If a definition of a golden nugget, that's what it was. Like, there was so much to break down with that. And for the audience that aren't watching the video, of course, we could see how passionate you are about it. And it's so cool. It's unreal to see.
That transferred through to us. That was hyping both of us. Yeah. Like, you can always just feel the energy.
Yeah, 100%.
Even though through Zoom.
Well, that's not ironic, right? Because everything's energy.
Yeah.
Like when I coach clients every day, you know, through Zoom, you know, with PTSD just a chat, and you can see it's a transference of energy, right? Now that coaching's another thing, but you can sense my passion there, right? But that's literally because it works. And that's because I see so many people, you know, even my best friends and my family that just don't tap into something so simple, right? You just got to get up and be happy and get focused on your thoughts and your feeling, and you've got the day conquered usually.
And we want to touch on like some of the experiences you've had with elite athletes as well. But firstly, like obviously you use that piece of that player going out there so excited. And would you say that they can't really, it's not possible to reach a flow state unless you are doing something that you're passionate about? As we first started with the interview talking about passions and purpose, do you think it's only possible that they're following their passion, then they can reach their flow state?
So great question, man. Going back to my first business, which is about engage and grow, the job of engage and grow was to get disengaged people engaged. That was how I made money, right? So we just saw disengaged people all around the world. So if you're disengaged in your workplace, right, you go to work and you don't like this job, you can make a call to go, okay, well, I know this isn't forever, but I'm going to go out there today and I'm just going to go and make someone's day. I'm going to just feel good about just actually having a job, a roof over my head, finding a way to feel good about your existence in the workplace. Now, if you really can't do that, get the hell out of there. Just get out of there, right? There's so many other workplaces around the world right now that actually have a high vibrational culture. So if you really can't find a benefit in your existence in the workplace, get out. Because, yeah, you'll just so you'll get – and let me just add to this without trying to confuse everyone. That's sometimes a good thing, right? Contrast comes in, contrast being pressure, being stress. And it's like the wave of contrast comes in. You go, I don't like it here anymore because my boss has changed, or I've had a different boss, or my money's just been taken. Sometimes that's a good thing because it's your higher existence saying, you're time for a new job, man. You've got a new learning over here. So you've got to let your hands off the wheel, go, okay, I'm really not enjoying it here. I'm following my highest excitement. My excitement is not good here. Let's go open the paper tomorrow. Let's go and speak to a friend over a coffee. And next minute, boom, here comes a new opportunity for you. Right. So then you go, right, well, I'm following my feeling structure. I'm following that this isn't exciting. I've got to open up now and let people know that I'm looking for a move. And if you always follow that excitement lever, then you'll find something, right? Again, you've got to be disciplined in, is this the right thing for you, for your strategically designed career? But usually it is, because otherwise most people who really love their job are in flow. They love it. Yeah, they just love it. And then if they get to the point where it's not working out, then they find something else.
And it kind of, that would, I imagine those people that are in flow, it would almost act as a reverse indicator. Like when they find themselves out of flow, it's almost like an alarm going off. Like, is this like, should I think about doing something else almost? Yeah. Why am I not enjoying this? Or do you know what I mean?
But at the same time, though, Ben, like also you can have bad habits too. You can go to work and just be a miserable son of, you know, you could just be there causing people headaches. But if you go there with just a glimmer of gratitude, just to maybe make someone else's day better, or just, I'm going to just enjoy this now. If that's gone, then get out. Because first you've got to manage your state, all right? Get your state right. If you think another company is just going to employ you and you haven't worked on your bad habits, they may, but you might find the same issues pop up. Right? So this is why working on yourself is so important for you if you want to be a master in your life, because you just can't go from one relationship or one workplace with the same bad habits same victimish mannerisms and expect to be, okay, I'm saved and I'm clear. It ain't like that. You've still got to always work on cleaning yourself down and unhacking yourself if you want to be extraordinary, because you get paid more anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you've kind of got to, you can't just blame external things. Like it is intrinsic. It's kind of how you show up to the world every day.
Exactly. That's it, mate. Spot on. How you show up. How you show up to yourself, most importantly, then the world gets the gift of you.
Mm. That's powerful. We've heard you talk about how people can almost use practical mental and even physical triggers to kind of get them back into flow state. And we've heard on a couple of podcasts, I've heard Tom Bilyeu talk about how he actually attributes, like, when he's in a happy mood, he'll like start clicking, and he kind of almost like attributes clicking to being happy. And when he's not in a happy state, he almost uses that as a trigger to kind of raise that energy back up and remind himself. Is that something that you've kind of talk about with your clients or think about on a daily?
Yeah. That's a trigger, right? That's all it is. He's put a trigger into his daily existence. So I'm a bit more lazy than that. We use notifications. Mm. So you get notifications every half an hour to check in on your thinking. We use wristbands to go, okay, there's my point of attraction towards how I want to be. So we use these sorts of cues, even screensavers, to go, you know, I love my life, whatever it may be. Life's great. I'm grateful, whatever it is, just to remind you to stay on top of your feelings, right? To keep your thinking straight, because then your feelings go great. There's so many triggers, but after a while, you'll find this. You do it automatically because your neuroplasticity, your brain's changed. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's like now. He doesn't like, I have people that use the app sometimes up to 50 to 100 times a day to reprogram themselves because they've realized they're changing. They keep doing it. Like, bang, I'm feeling great. You know, I'm loving this. And they're doing bubble popping, which is a whole nother deeper question to get rid of your belief systems. And there's meditation, there's walking meditations, there's, you name it. But they're doing it all the time to reprogram that. After a while, you don't need it because you've already got the new neurological pathways sorted.
And I guess that's a great thing to remind your clients of and even our listeners that, like, you can change. Like, you've got to put in the work. You've got to put in the continual action towards this goal. And we'll get you to do kind of a handoff to the app at the end of the episode because it's such a great resource and we couldn't recommend it more. And we're excited to kind of use it in our own lives.
Yeah, and try it out.
And stay consistent with it.
Well, it just depends. You just got to get clear on what you want. And if that's happiness every day, no matter what, then there's your app. You know, like if you want to get caught up in the shackles of life, then that's fine too. But, you know, if you really want to get to the place, and this is really important, like most people are walking around the planet and they don't realize they're consciously painting and creating their reality. Mm. Now, guys, really important because, you know, when you're coming out of school into a job, into the, you know, it's all like you're growing so quickly and there's a lot of pressure coming on. You got to learn a lot. You got to adapt into the business world and you name it. So once you realize, if you get really control of your thoughts, that you're painting all day long. So most people are painting a canvas in the mind's eye and they're not even looking at the canvas. They're just going, oh, worry, 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 concern, concern, concern. And they look at the canvas at the end of the day, week or month, and it's a gray mess. Right? But then if you get really focused on getting clear on what you want, today's going to be a great day. I don't mind it. Whatever comes my way is always good for me. I'm going to make other people feel great today. You're painting carefully. You're painting what you want, you know, and then you're getting clear on your dreams. My dream is to have retreats in Bali. My dream is to have a nice car and just getting clear on that. That's where the old vision boards work, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're always putting that, but you don't have to get caught up in it all day long. You just put it out there for 30 seconds to a minute. And so you have a practice, you have a routine, and all of a sudden you'll start seeing things working in your favor. And this is called flow. Right, because what you think is what you get anyway. So if you're thinking great partnership, wealth, all this sort of stuff, then you're going to get it. But most people don't. They think about, oh, I'm anxious. I've got to hang in there. How am I going to deal with myself today? They don't like me. They don't return my emails, right? And so the next minute you go into you're creating more anxiety in your life. And that's why anxiety is an easy hack if you know how to hack yourself.
So we've heard you talk about this concept of, I guess, washing the mind as almost a preventative measure against stress and anxiety. We thought this was a really great concept, and it's something that we've never really heard about. I guess given almost the increase in, I guess, like stress and anxiety disorders from my observation kind of around us today, I thought that this is such a valuable thing that can be put onto our listeners and I guess the globe more broadly. Talk us through this concept of washing your mind and how people can practically use this method.
Sure. So your mind literally the only time it really gets to relax is when you're asleep, right? Or when you're going for a run, or when you meditate, right? So they're great opportunistic times to stop momentum. As in momentum being worry, 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 you know how you get really caught up and you can't sleep at night, or, you know, you've got to go have a coffee with someone to break the mind. So that's all good. But then cleaning down the mind, like having a shower every day, and that's really important. So what does that mean? And you don't want to get to the stage at the end of the day where you just got to dump. But if you need to, we've got these things called bubble popping. The brain can only handle 6 or 7 chunks of information at once. If it gets more than that, you're going to overwhelm. Right? It's like having too many tabs open on your computer. Right? So at the end of the day, do you close your computer and tab it back to one? No, because your computer can handle it. But us as humans, we can't. We go home, and you go home and like, oh, fuck. You know,
yeah.
Still don't, you know, kick the cat and can't sleep at night because I've got too much stress running through my system, and then you have a shitty night and then you're back up in the crack of dawn, and then so the mind's not being washed down. So we use these bubble popping, and we have one called an overwhelm bubble. So you click on that, and I'll just read you the questions and go, what's the bubble? We go, workload, whatever it may be. And then, again, this is probably not in the free app, but you can get it in the program, the premium app. And then you go through these questions. What's weighing on your mind? Out of 10, how much is it bothering you? Describe how you're feeling. Why do you think you're allowing this to affect you? What variables can you change, if any? What thoughts make you feel better? What are the 5 benefits of this happening now? What do you need to do now? Who's in charge now, your child or your master? And so once you logically delete those bubbles, logically, by getting it and going, righto, I'm going to get, like you said before, we love to give stories about everything, right? We love to get caught up in the story of the drama of everything. Once you get that bubble, you go, okay, I've just deleted that bubble because I've got the benefits from it. I've got why I'm creating it. I've got how to delete it. I've taken, and then you can just release it, right? And then you don't carry it for 2 or 3 days or you know. And so you just pop these bubbles away so you can go in like a fresh computer the next day with high power, no viruses, you know, no overwhelm. And so you can think and you can act and you can learn more, and you're faster, you're more in vibrational, high vibration. And then yesterday hasn't become today.
Yeah.
So that's what we use at the end of the day. But having said that, the thought shopping notifications, how to really quickly change your thinking and your thoughts throughout the day, is a key lesson for you guys and for anyone who wants to continually stay on top of their thoughts throughout the day. Right? So you get notifications for that. Now, I've gone really quick with that, but because I know time's of the essence here. But most importantly is, like, if you want to become really sharp mentally, and I'm going to tell you right now, for your age group in particular, want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be able to manage pressure, guys. I'm telling you, because, you know, if I knew how hard entrepreneurialism was before I knew I did it, I wouldn't have done it. But I didn't know. But it's freaking hard work. And that's why you've got to build your mind up, because you're only as good as your mind. You're only good as your thoughts. It doesn't matter how fit you are, because a lot of even long-distance runners run because they can't handle their mind, because they get the chemical endorphins from running and keeping fit. But when they stop, they go mad because they haven't controlled this. They're getting their body to control this, but you've got to get in control of this. And so to do it, you've got to clean down each day, like refreshing your computer, right? Come back to a fresh computer each day as opposed to having 30 tabs open. Right? How well are you going to operate then? You know what I mean?
Making me even a bit foggy because there's so much so much good stuff that we talked about.
I can't wait to edit this interview and re-listen.
Yeah. Shotgun editing it. Tell you what, I'll listen to this as much as possible.
And we highly recommend like our listeners to re-listen to this episode and even take notes. Also download the app because, yeah, as we said, we can't wait to kind of dive into it and start working on ourselves and being really clear on what we actually want in our lives. But before we finish up, Richard, we'd love for you to tell our audience how they can find out more about you and everything that you've got going on, and touch on the app as well.
So yeah, it's Quality Mind Global, the app. You can download it for free. There is an upgrade coming soon. If you want to take the premium version, you can give us a buzz and we'll run you through a program if you want to do that. On the website, it's qualitymindglobal.com. There's a free scorecard there if anyone wants to do a check-in on themselves, 9 quick questions. And then if you want some support after that, we give you free coaching. So there's all these sorts of things, especially this generation, guys. If you want to be an entrepreneur, get on top of your game. Get on top of your thoughts. Otherwise, you just may not have the industry will work you through if you really got the passion for it, because you'll get there. But you're going to need partnerships. You're going to need support. You can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
So that's basically one of the major lessons I've learned. I had a partner help me create the other one. But most importantly, get a hold of this. And the new leader for the new generation is a leader that can handle stress.
Yeah.
We don't want egotistical leaders. Look around the world right now. The world leaders, they're pathetic, right? Majority are pathetic. You know, we need wholehearted, good Samaritan leaders that actually lead from the heart as opposed to the head. So you've got to get on top of this so it doesn't dominate you and dominate others if you're in a leadership position around the world.
100%. And these learnings will compound, especially if you learn them young, especially in our early 20s. These will compound out throughout your entire life, and imagine the fruit that's going to grow from that.
Spot on, man. You're doing a great job, gentlemen. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Richard.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you want to stay up to date with what's new, remember to press follow on your chosen podcast platform.
You can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Young Opportunist. Once again, thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.